Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
AEW is where the best wrestle, and they might have just put on the greatest match, not just of 2024, but potentially in the United States of America, at least, of all time. Hook versus Chris Jericho. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the AEW Dynasty. This has been screwing me up a lot because it sounds like dynamite.
Okay, because
I nearly reviewed AEW Dynamite, the pay-per-view.
I mean, well, would that be such a terrible thing?
No, of course not. The AEW Dynasty pay-per-view, of course. This Wrestle Talk podcast review edition. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button. Give us a thumbs up. Comment.
Are you all right?
I'm okay.
What happened?
I was deep in numbers before this started. Yeah. And I realized I can't context shift as quickly as I thought I could. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this pay-per-view and sending your Omega chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them over $5.
Is it not because you're so stressed out about the cat situation from last week?
Cat situation sorted.
Yeah, I know, but like maybe is there lingering tension?
Nobody knows about the cat situation.
Wait, but that's fine.
We've got 28 matches to talk about. I can't talk about how I'm a hero and rescued my cat.
People don't need the Well, we don't know if you really were a hero. You did film it.
The cat was not a crisis actor. The cat was genuinely stuck under my house and I rescued it.
And
Luke is trying to spread these rumors.
It's not just me. Laurie Stein.
Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay just had one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This had a lot of hype going in. I would say this had some lofty expectations going into it. I think AEW themselves helped those expectations be set quite high when they were, you know, it's a dream match. It's two of the best. Who really is the best wrestler in the world? I would say they were pushing the dream match aspect of this more than they were for Danielson Omega, for the Omega Ospreay matches. Even like the Danielson Zach match we had at Wrestle Dream, or the Danielson Okada match that we had at Forbidden Door last year.
But I think as they should. I think Ospreay Danielson really is. I guess Danielson Omega was the only other one you could have done that for. And they did bring a huge sense of occasion to that.
Yeah.
But this, I really do feel like it is who is the best wrestler in the world right now with Kenny out injured, Danielson nearing not full retirement, but he's winding down. And Ospreay is this hot new signing who has really taken AEW by storm as easily its top babyface now.
Yeah, the reaction that boy got when he came out. Like we talk about it, what he gets on Dynamite, where he just, you mentioned it on last week's show, where it feels like he's already eclipsed Swerve. And that's like, Swerve's done nothing wrong. Swerve's not done anything to be like, the fans have turned against him now. The fans aren't as interested in his chase. No, fans are still interested in his chase and want to see him win the title. It's just that Ospreay's the best wrestler on the planet, probably, and therefore people are reacting to him huge. And he got this like superstar level reaction when he came out for this match. Like I wrote here, I was like, this crowd are pumped for this match.
Great crowd all night. Them plus the excellent standard of in-ring wrestling really helped this 5.5 hour show. Five hours. I won't count the half hour of Rene Paquette and RJ City talking. Mm-hmm. 5 hour show. Genuinely go by at an okay pace.
Yeah. You know, and that's only half an hour longer than most WWE shows.
No, but
but it is, though. But, that is a fact.
It's not a fact because they don't have, for wrestling content, their shows are 3.5 to 4 hours long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their AEW shows with all the three matches on the 0 hour pre-show add an extra hour.
Well, you say that, but I got through the 0 hour in about half an hour because you skip through the video packages until you get the actual wrestling matches.
It's too much wrestling. Stop doing the 0 hour. You had a 3 hour collision the night before. That's the show to put this on. Anyway, I'm not getting into this because I want to talk positives.
Did you see that infographic that was released yesterday that was sort of like timed out like how much wrestling there is, how much commercial time there is, how much like in-ring promo stuff there is? And WWE Raw and SmackDown have more commercials than they do in-ring wrestling.
I'm not surprised by that.
It's just when you see it in fact, like, that's an incredible stat to see. But to focus on the positives here, because I do agree with you, it did feel long. This match was so incredibly good. And as I said, like this had incredibly lofty expectations going into it because AEW themselves were like, it's a dream match. It's the two best wrestlers on the planet. Who really is the best wrestler? And I would say not only did they exceed those expectations, they went above and beyond those expectations and absolutely smashed through just into an incredible back and forth match. They did this like sequence at the start where they were like ducking and reversing each other's moves and the crowd were on their feet applauding it. And I was like, this is just, it feels amazing.
It was so quick and slick when they did that. And it was when Ospreay went for these just lightning fast kicks. He's so fast. And Danielson sort of, I can't remember what it's called, but when you duck backwards, was that R1? You flick the
the feint.
You flick the little toggle, don't you?
Yeah.
To move backwards to dodge those in 2K. And but Danielson's on his, like, the back of his arms, sort of scurrying away, but in a controlled manner. And up until that point, Danielson had been smiling. You know, he's like, yeah, we're going to have a match. We're going to beat the crap out of each other. That's what me and the Blackpool Combat Club are here for. But after that 2 minute opening sequence, he changed. He was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You really are as good as they say you are.
Yeah.
It was just an excellent story they told throughout the match. And then for me, this was Danielson working slightly heel, leaning more on the submissions of the Blackpool Combat Club style. And Ospreay is never getting worked over because even when he's in a submission, like he's trying to hop out of it. Mm-hmm. He's trying to roll out of it. He's waving his arm to make you know that he's going to get to a rope or something. And then boom, he's straight into this insanely athletic offense.
There was a moment on commentary where Danielson said, there's a reason that Bryan Danielson has won the best technical wrestler award. It's because he pays for it.
But the idea that Danielson on the mat, I would say this match shows he's the better wrestler there on in
that,
kayfabe.
On that note, like there was when Ospreay went to do the Os Cutter and Danielson countered that with a label lock.
Yeah.
Like saying those words sounds like, that doesn't sound like that's right. Like, no, you've got a move wrong there. But no, he legit reversed a Os Cutter into the label lock.
But they keep doing it. What was the Takeshita into a Blue Thunder Bomb? Was that an Os Cutter?
It might have been an Os Cutter, actually.
It's just like, no. Did we glitch here? So you've got Danielson in kayfabe, the story they're telling. He's dominating the mat. And then you've got Ospreay. He's kind of getting the better of the strike exchanges, I would say, and just like the offense stuff. So it's daylight between them. And in the end, they keep telling this story of, you know, Ospreay would go for a move, but it'll be like his finisher, but Danielson would hit his knee, and then Danielson would go for his finisher, and Ospreay would hit the blade. And it comes down to this most just incredible sequence where Danielson finds himself in his corner and he's going, yes, yes. And the crowd again, yes, no, yes, no. Great crowd all night doing that. And Ospreay doesn't linger in the middle like an idiot dummy waiting to get the finisher hit on him. He stumbles to the opposite corner. He turns to look at Danielson in this incredibly cinematic moment, and he pulls down the elbow pad to set up for the hidden blade. And it's both men.
And he's just like grabbing the ropes, just being like, and it's like, which of you's going to blink first?
Yeah.
And they got the yes chance, and him just going, and then he just charges. That I was like, I don't do this a lot when I'm watching wrestling. I started hitting my knees, being like, yeah, come on.
It's that stare down bit you get on the go home show to sell the pay-per-view in the climax of the match. Both guys like two samurai warriors or like jousting knights. They're there. And we're like, okay, we are agreeing now because we've thrown everything at each other. We're both going to go for our best shot. And we're going to go for it at the exact same time to make sure it's fair. Best wrestler wins. And in the end, Ospreay was just a fraction on this night faster. And he hit the hidden blade before Danielson connected with the knee.
And I love how this fell into the finishing sequence, which is that Ospreay, like, he just gets into a mode. And he just sees, like, almost just sees, doesn't see red because that seems anger. He just sees, I don't know, whatever the color wrestle is. And so he hits the hidden blade, immediately hits, picks him up, Tiger Driver 91, and immediately goes to hit the hidden blade, even though the referee has called in for a doctor, hit the ring to check in on Danielson because Danielson's spasming on the floor. Ospreay does not see any of this. He is just seeing his target in Danielson. So he just runs through, hits the hidden blade. The referee's like, whoa! One, two, three. And then Will is celebrating. And it takes a while for Will to like almost calm down from that orgasmic run he just had of moves to realize what he's done.
But like, it's the referee's fault. If you go to boxing, if you go to MMA, like the referee isn't, well, shucks, he looks a bit injured. Medic, can you come over? Oh, no, because the boxer or the MMA fighter, their mission is, I'm going to keep hitting this person until the referee tells me to stop.
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility to make sure the other guy's okay. In fact, it's my responsibility to end this guy and knock him unconscious to the count of three. So Ospreay is doing everything right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why he's seen so many people in these big matches. Like, they hit their finisher. Near fall. Oh, no. I just hold my hands. Why didn't I hit another move? So when he hits his finisher, yes, he follows it up with a Tiger Driver 91, the move that destroyed Kenny. And then he hits another finisher to make sure to give Danielson the respect that I'm going to hit all this stuff so you don't kick out. The referee, as soon as Danielson starts spasming on the floor because he's broken his neck, the referee should be going, no, Ospreay, stop, stop. You've won the match. He's won the match.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not crapping on this angle, but I'm just saying Ospreay should not feel bad.
No, but that's kind of the genius of the right, because he does. We'll come on to that in a little bit. The two moments that I absolutely adored in this match, we talked about one of them, which is when they squared off and made me sort of like get very giddy. But the two that I like jumped out of my seat for was when Danielson transitioned from the lapel lock into a triangle choke because Ospreay escaped it. And Ospreay then powered up and hit a one-arm Styles Clash. And it wasn't like step over, step over and then hit the move. He literally was like up, boom, 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 and hit the Styles Clash. It was incredible how quick he managed to transition to that. And then the other one is when Ospreay went for the Os Cutter and Danielson hit the Busaiko knee in midair in like that Adam Cole ricochet levels of perfect timing. It was bonkers.
I can't think of a single thing they could have done better.
No.
And anything that I could have come up with, they surpassed it by an infinite amount. That's why they're the professionals and they're the best in the world. This was a privilege to watch. To talk about the angle at the end, Danielson starts spasming. He's on the floor. Mm-hmm. The referee should have called it off, but just like quite leisurely called for a medic instead.
Doc, get him in the ring. I think there's something wrong with this guy.
And then, you know, Ospreay hits the finisher. The referee still counts the pin. Yeah. Oh, I better count this pin, not just say you've won the match or call it off because I think he's dead. And the medics get in the ring and a bunch of them, and they're checking on Danielson. The idea being that Tiger Driver landed Danielson right on his head. And, you know, when you watch it the first time, it really looks like it. When you watch the replay, he clearly safely lands on, like, as safely as he can take them.
As safely as you can take that. It's the Omega magic that he has with that move. When he did it in the Forbidden Door match that they had, and everyone went absolutely bananas because it was like, it dropped him right in his head. It's like, no, that's just Omega's really good at making you think that he's been dropped on his head.
With the Omega one, it was mostly hair. it's like he took it on his hair somehow. But Danielson, I think, when you watch the replay and some other fan angles have come out, clearly lands on the top of his, like, the spine.
And Fightful Slate reported it was a planned spot. He's not actually injured. It wasn't a dangerous move. It wasn't executed badly. This was the planned finish for the match.
So my only sort of feedback, and it's very, very nitpicky, I don't really even put much stock in it, don't show the replay. Because if you didn't show me the replay, I would be like, oh my God. I mean, they seem like they're making a storyline out of it, but I hope Danielson's okay. But when I saw the replay, I was like, it's definitely an angle.
Yeah, I got worked by this ever so slightly in that, because when he hit it and the selling of it and the doctors rushing into the ring afterwards, part of me, there was this rational part of my brain was like, of course it's an angle. Like, of course it is, you div. But I was like, I don't know, man. It feels like, and the commentary went really quiet for a moment. They weren't showing Danielson. I had this Danielson has done this quite a lot since he's come back, and it's never worked on me. But this one did, to the point when it was finished and it was all over. And during the next match, the commentary were like, "Look, we'll update you on the Danielson situation as soon as we can, but the show must go on, so we're going to continue on as we go." That I was like, do I want to risk spoiling the main event of this show by just quickly Googling Bryan Danielson and just making sure that he's okay? I genuinely did. I got a little bit worked by this.
Well, I think that's a mark of how successful it was.
Yeah.
Because at our jaded, cynical, been watching wrestling for 30-what years, we don't get, we don't think things are real at face value anymore. But those angles where you go, oh, but. What if?
Yeah.
They're really sort of concerning and dramatic.
Going to give you one more of my favorite Ospreay things. Mm-hmm. And this is, wrestlers do this a lot, which I kind of winds me up a little bit. And so I'll give props to Drew for this as well. If you have a running move and that person is going to block it and or duck it or whatever, I really appreciate that when Ospreay is going for the hidden blade, it's up to you if you duck. he just swings for the fences when he does that. And he's like, if I hit you, that's your fault. He's like Edge when at the end of their match, Adam Copeland, at the end of his match, when he knew he was going to hit with the black mist, he sort of runs, stops, so he can get hit with the mist. But Ospreay's like, no, I'm just going to dive you with the hidden blade. And Drew does the same thing. He's like, I'm just going to run at you and I'm going to try and hit the claymore. It's up to you to duck, mate.
So on that final angle bit, they continue to play it up in the press conference. Ospreay said he's going to retire that move now. This isn't the way he wanted to win. So I feel like this is probably the mechanism to separate Ospreay from the Don Callis family.
I think so as well. I feel like this is Don can look at him and be like, you lost a bit of killer edge to you because you showed remorse for Bryan Danielson and you want to retire a move. That's not what we do in the Don Callis family. Because even on commentary, Don was almost sowing seeds for that. Having sort of go back and rewatching bits and pieces of it, he is talking about he kind of puts Danielson over more than he does Ospreay, which is so interesting now thinking back on the Claudio match when he was talking about, I think Claudio's actually the better wrestler here in this match. He's dominating Ospreay in the proceedings. So I feel like there's a lot of seeds are being sown for an eventual payoff.
Yeah, I just don't know what you do with this because you'd hope Ospreay versus Strickland at Wembley. Maybe Ospreay then feuds with the Callis family to fill that time so he doesn't have to go for the title right away. But I have just seen that, all of those possible matches.
Because we've seen him beat Fletcher.
Yeah.
He's beaten Hobbs and he's beaten Takeshita.
So I don't know how a more heel Don Callis family.
Sammy. They put him back in the family again.
Jericho, FTW champion, finally unites with Callis. But yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. But as Danielson as a character, I think he'd go, fair play, mate.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. You got to kill me.
I'm not sure.
But Ospreay feels bad about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's see what you all think in the Omega chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5. Will Campbell says, "Hey guys, Ospreay versus Danielson is probably one of the most incredible matches I have ever seen. It was nothing short of spellbinding and jaw-dropping the whole way through. Also stoked to see Swerve win the world title. The man has more than earned it."
Absolutely, yeah. I thought it was in an incredible match.
Misha Sumra. Hello, Misha. "Worth noting that Will had a question about Swerve at the press scrum and really put over the champ and the pair's long-standing friendship. I've been calling for Swerve Ospreay All In since the start of the year, and we're a step closer. Hashtag yes, please."
Yeah, I think we also had this in our three count predictions for AEW, which we did late last year. And I think a lot of people are saying that feels like that's the match to do, because it's the guy that feels like the most over baby, or did feel like the most over baby face in the company, in Swerve Strickland, going up against a guy who's going to be the most overact in the UK. And now actually it just feels like, no, they're just the most two over baby faces in the US. Absolutely. So you should be headlining with that.
Power Packers 19, Memberg for 32 months. "Mod James here. I know I got heat elsewhere for this, but this is the best match I ever watched. 35 minutes flew by. AEW is the best at this style."
Yeah, 35, it did not feel 35
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah. Where did you get heat for that? I think that is one of the more common consensus things coming out of this. Oh yeah, that's one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anyone say, "Oh, that was a bad match." I'm sure some knobhead will. Like, I'm sure Disco Inferno on his podcast will say it was a bad match.
Don't say his name. He Google searches. He'll react to this clip. I said to my lady partner this morning, she said, "How was the wrestling?" I went, "Oh, it's honestly probably had one of the best matches I've ever seen on it." And she went, "You say that a lot." I had to be like, okay, yeah, AEW pay-per-views do tend to do... And WrestleMania a couple of weeks ago made me cry. But you just got to believe me here.
It's just a really good time to be a wrestling fan.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan. "Hello, Luke. Hello, Ollie. Hope you're doing well. Danielson and Ospreay was a great match. Fantastic. Will has been winning me over more and more in and outside the ring. P.S. It is really hard not to mention the usual things I mention, but I am trying."
I also thought Will had a really good showing at the press conference. Mm. I thought he was the Triple H question. I thought he handled that really, really well.
Oh, this is the best way to reply to troll Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Troll Levesque is to just put on the best possible matches. And finally for now, T3A Bag 3N says, "Such a privilege to watch live in person. Oh, Danielson versus Ospreay is the best match I've ever seen in my whole life. Bucks FTR was amazing too, but F the guys sitting next to me who kept chanting CM Punk the entire match. Just shut up and enjoy.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, T3, that did not come through on the show. Yeah. I don't think I heard a single chant for that, so which is good news. I suppose to wrap this up before we get into the rest of the show, we've got a lot to cover. It's people talking about match of the year candidates. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, we were running through these in the office. I think it's better than Takeshita Osprey. I love the Cody WrestleMania main event and Sammy and Gunther and stuff, but this is a better match for me. Mm-hmm. In the ring, not in terms of emotion, I would say. The Okada Danielson, I think it's better than...
Yeah, I think so. I need to go back and rewatch Okada Danielson because I thought that was better than their first outing, the one they had at Wrestle Kingdom. I thought that was better than the first one they did. Danielson Zach was really good. And I think this is partially because I was there, so I've got a little bit of perhaps some bias towards it, but Osprey Oku at Rev Pro, I think, is my favorite match of the year. It's certainly like, I think it's the greatest wrestling, I've said it's the greatest wrestling match I've ever been in person for, slightly eclipsing Ishii, Keith Lee from 2017. But I think when it's all said and done, we'll be looking back at this as probably the match of the year. Mm.
The 0 Hour had three matches on. We got Matt Sydal versus Trent. Fine match. Trent won. I would say that Trent is just coming off of this heel turn. This is his first match since then. Putting him on the 0 Hour against Matt Sydal in what was actually a competitive match immediately slots Trent at a level when he could have had a refresh.
You were also calling for less matches on the pay-per-view card.
Yep.
So I don't think you can really win in this scenario.
No, then. I'm saying just don't have this match and promote. Oh, Trent returns to action on Dynamite.
But they did use this to promote that they're doing the big angle on Dynamite because after the match, he called out Chucky
What's
T.
What's the point of a 0 Hour?
Well, it's to sell you on the pay-per-view. Yes. But it's also there to, it can advertise Dynamite as well.
Trent left up the entrance ramp and said to Chucky, who sort of saved Sydal from a prolonged beatdown after the match, and said to Chucky, tell me which side you're on. I'm giving you until Wednesday. And then Cassidy makes his entrance for his tag next, and Trent sort of caught between the two, and he scurries off when Shibata turns up. That turned into Cassidy and Shibata versus Shane Taylor Promotions. I really enjoyed the chemistry of these four guys.
This is like what you want to have on a pre-show to kind of make you want to buy the pay-per-view and see some more fun wrestling and good wrestling like this.
I particularly thought Cassidy and Moriarty were really good together. And Go-Go's trying to interfere, but ultimately, who won the actual match?
Well, Orange Cassidy and Shibata did.
Yeah, but who won?
Orange Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy did. I'm going to say a lot of things that I'm like, I wouldn't have had this or I would have done it this way about a lot of things on this pay-per-view. But please don't let that detract from I think it had four excellent things, which more than outweigh all these sort of mid-card, undercard foibles.
That's fair. Well, that is because, Ollie, as we have discussed on the show before, you can hold two opposing thoughts in your head, and both of them are correct.
So here, for instance, I wouldn't have Shane Taylor Promotions lose again when Trent could have cost Cassidy. Don't have the Trent match. Have Trent cost Cassidy and Shibata this match.
Yeah,
give Shane Taylor Promotions a win. And then the final match on 0 Hour was the Acclaimed versus the Bang Bang Gang, unifying the ROH and AEW six-man titles.
Woohoo! Hopefully this is now the end of it. And we can maybe do a bit of a restart on this trios division.
And the Acclaimed.
Yeah.
And Bullet Club Gold.
Yeah, are they Bullet Club Gold now or are they the Bang Bang Gang?
Or what, is it like Juice Robinson makes them Bullet Club Gold?
Well, that's what I don't know. That it was more my question. Because there's a lot of chat online about how people think the Acclaim should break up, Bowen's go on a single run and things like that. But you watch them watch the reactions that they get on shows and people really like the Acclaim. So they kind of get over in the building, but they don't get over online is my current read on them. I don't think the Billy Gunn match particularly helped. And I haven't got a lot of notes for this match, but one of them is I could really do without this no selling from Billy Gunn.
Yeah, Jay White hit him with the bat and Billy Gunn still kicked out. And I was like, oh my God, are they actually going to have Billy Gunn win?
Beat him twice.
Or like kick out of a Blade Runner or something. But thank God, Jay White got the pin on Billy Gunn. Mm-hmm. Still nowhere near enough to make up for things that have happened in this feud.
Nope.
But at least Jay White ended up on top.
And I think this is now the end of it. And that is good for everyone. Mm.
Max Caster had like an extra a cappella verse. Mm. I'm sure it was planned, but it did seem like he just decided to do it on the fly.
I'm just going to do some more. People don't like me at the moment online. I better do another rap that'll make people laugh.
And it was significantly more non-PG than usual, I'd say.
Say the D word.
Yeah, after some words about violation and stuff.
I know.
I thought, okay, I don't know if this is helping build the match, but I guess it did get people into it. Because it shocked people.
Considering that people were still coming into the building at this point, the match was shockingly loud.
But yes, that is the 0 hour. The main card opened with Okada versus Pac for the Continental Championship. Mm-hmm. I've learned the names of all the titles again, so I'll stop mixing up TNT and International, I think.
I think memory serves. I'm just going to double check this. But yeah, there is only one match on this card that doesn't feature titles.
And it's the best match.
Yeah.
So Okada and Pac, I was very curious to see a pay-per-view Okada on the main Okada, if you will. And I just thought this was excellent.
This match
from the start to the end, it was like 20 minutes. It wasn't boom, 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 big athletic moves. You know, Pac might hit a top rope brainbuster at one point or a black arrow attempt here. But they were really 4 or 5 minutes apart. Mm-hmm. It was a really nice building match.
I really loved this match. I thought this match was awesome. It ruled. I thought Pac looked great. Okada, I thought, was fantastic. When he went to do the Rainmaker pose and just gave the audience the finger instead, I properly laughed. And the crowd reacted to it so, so good. F Okada chants ringing throughout the arena.
I forgot he was a heel for a moment, because just before then he started like, come on, and riling up the crowd. I was like, yeah, okay. Well, you're meant to be a heel, but whatever, this is fun. And then he flipped the bird. Brilliant.
And I particularly enjoyed as well Pac doing the deadlift German suplex and then putting over on commentary that how difficult that is for Pac, given the height difference, which is a nice touch, because that has been a lot of the build for this match is, I am not as tall as you. Like, Okada standing above him being like, you're a lot smaller than I am. Pac had that promo, was like, yeah, I'm not as tall as you. I'm not as flashy as you, but I'm also not a flash in the pan. So I thought them doing that spot in the commentary, highlighting that, thought was really neatly tied together a lot of the story beats they had going into it.
Okada won, but there was a little bit of shenanigans. Pac was going to go for his black arrow, but Okada pulled the referee in the way, and that momentary delay allowed him to get the knees up, which would seem to go right into Pac's face. And then
really did.
Really quickly, one Rainmaker. So we've reset the power of the Rainmaker, which I'm totally for. So when we do get the Rainmaker kick out later in the year, it'll be huge.
Yeah, when he got the knees up there, I was like, we've already broken this man's orbital bone. I don't think we need to do that again.
So yes, excellent match. Great start for Okada on pay-per-view. Then we got, I guess this wasn't for titles either.
No, but it had titles featured within it. Right, that was my point. The TNT champion, the New Japan Strong Openweight champion, and the ROH champion were involved in this match.
Against the House of Black. So that's Copeland, Kingston, and Briscoe. This was just a way to build Copeland versus Malakai Black.
Yeah.
And they smartly kept them apart a lot during the match. Like Malakai tags in near the start and he's going to go against Edge, but then tags in Brody King. And then at the end, it was Malakai misting Copeland to get the win. But I thought Kingston, Briscoe, and Brody King in this match were just brilliant.
I've said this a lot on the Collision podcast and the Dynamite podcast, but you watch matches like this and you're like, oh, this is what the Trios division is supposed to look like. Yeah.
A bunch of random guys together.
Just nonsense and crazy moves, just doing moves. Just doing PWG matches, but on AEW. And that's what I'm kind of after for this Trios division. So again, when I'm talking about, like, you know, the Bullet Club Gold having the championship, I'm like, let's do more of this. Let's have some good Trios action.
Yeah. So really good stuff. Then we got Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale to continue that House of Black theme through. The house rule was that Sky Blue and Chris Statlander were banned from ringside. Willow's decision. Mm. So I get that as a baby face. I want to do this one-on-one. I don't need you, Chris. Which I think will probably play into whatever Statlander's heel turn might eventually be. But yeah, it seems like you were right with the report. Julia Hart is injured. Mm. This only went 6 minutes.
I'm not right on a report. I didn't report that. It's just like that had
Luke
been...
exclusively claimed.
That had been reported by, I think Meltzer reported it, and I parroted it.
So it was only 6 minutes long. And, you know, Mercedes was watching backstage. And when Willow won, Mercedes came in to sort of just stare. CEO, CEO. And yeah. So again, this TBS title picture, it's like, I really love Willow. I really love Julia, but I don't want Willow to be the champion yet. I want her to go on a chase, and Mercedes Moné is doing nothing for me.
Yeah, there's kind of three prongs to this. Julia Hart's injury really derailed her title run. Like, she won that title and then went on a vacation for like 2 weeks. And then she came back and she got hurt. So it feels like they didn't really have a lot. The TBS title feels like it hasn't been on TV much because the champ's been out. So that kind of sucks. So it feels like she was so hot coming out of Wrestle Dream that it was like, man, she's going to be like, the sky's the limit. The blue sky's the limit. Sky blue's the limit. But it's unfortunately, you know, championship, sort of the injury derailed. The Willow thing, I kind of disagree on, because I think it's about time that we belted this woman and started to do this bigger sense with her. And on the Mercedes thing, I'm glad that we now know what the direction is, which is, let's turn her heel. And we are, because when she came out, the commentary were like putting over, she's stealing spotlight here. She is stealing Willow's moments, and that doesn't seem particularly cool. Sean Ross Sapp said on his Fightful post-show of this as well, is that Mercedes is very pushing, I should be a heel because I'm more comfortable being a heel. And so I think that's good. And I'm now starting to potentially buy into the idea that her terrible promos and her watching TV weird is all a meta commentary to set up the heel turn.
I don't think so. And even if that is the case, I don't think it's been done well.
Oh, no. No, not at all. I mean, we'll talk about good ideas not working in front of crowds when we get to the Hook Jericho match.
I would say on the Willow stuff, yeah, it's great that she's got her moment and it's a long time coming. But is this the way I envisioned? If I've been waiting ages for something. Do I just want it to happen after a 6 minute match and then the focus mostly be on Mercedes? Because Willow, I think, is quite clearly a transitional champion. Why should I even bother investing in this moment if it's actually just to set up her?
I think that's fair. Yeah.
I don't care about any of this.
I'm not particularly geared for the match, if that makes sense. Like, I think that they can do some good builds between now and Double or Nothing. Because they announced the matches, you know, for Double or Nothing, it's Willow versus Mercedes for the TBS Championship. So it's the only, you know, they're promoting it a lot in advance. I've seen some people think it could be the main event. I don't think it will be. But I think you can do some good build for now. As it currently stands, I'm not that interested because I don't think AEW's presentation of Moné since she's come in has been good.
I felt like there was an opportunity to do an angle here to heat everybody up. Would have involved turning Mercedes heel, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when there aren't that many major angle talking points coming out of a pay-per-view, I think the show would have benefited from this.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to be in charge. Maybe they've got a better plan. Also, on the press conference, Tony did, I'm pretty sure he did say, she isn't cleared yet. So, right. Yeah, sounds like Mercedes was never fully cleared came in.
But is that from the kayfabe backstage attack? Or is the backstage kayfabe attack there to give you cover for why she hasn't wrestled?
He didn't clarify.
Because like my argument would be, because I know people pointed that out in the live chat when we did our show on Thursday reviewing Dynamite, being like, Mercedes did say, well, I'm not medically cleared. I would have done that angle a lot earlier. As opposed to her doing this promo where she's like, I'm here to wrestle the best, and then not wrestle for 3 weeks.
Great heel strategy.
Quick note from Dan Layton as well. He did make me want to make sure that this was out on a podcast, so I am his conduit for this. Mercedes' hair clashed with her dress.
Right. Great.
He went into, I said, do you want me to change the title and thumbnail for the podcast? And he's like, if it was up to me, I would. But if you want to lead with the Osprey Danielson thing, go ahead.
Roderick Strong then defended his international championship against Kyle O'Reilly. And as I predicted on our prediction show, I love this.
Yeah, this was some beautiful 2010 Ring of Honor right here. Yeah,
another backbreaker. Yeah, I'll have another backbreaker.
Do one on the top turnbuckle. Do one on the apron. Yeah.
This was just fantastic. Hitting back and forth. Carl didn't get, like, I just thought both men looked really, really great. Mm-hmm. I guess I would have changed it so Carl maybe looked even better because he's coming back. He's going to lose the match. You probably want to give him a bit more of a spotlight. Don't feel like he got that. But other than that, I had such a fun time watching this match because it made me feel like I was 15 years ago in my bedroom watching ROH.
I had the same feeling. And I had a very, very good time with this match.
So weirdly, near the end, Wardlow strolls down. And the camera didn't even really focus on him at the start. And he went very slowly to do something to Carl, but never got him. So I don't know if Wardlow was being bad on interfering on purpose, or if there was a bit of a mistimed bit of staging.
Given what happened at the end, with the closing moments of this, I would assume it was done on purpose, but it did make him look super clumsy. And I think that would have been more effective if you'd have actually done something with the setup you had for this, whereas like Wardlow's job now is to protect our champions and make sure they win their matches. If you'd have actually done some of that on TV, even with the Kingdom, like, you know, making sure that they've probably done it on Rampage and I haven't seen it, on Ring of Honor.
This is Wardlow's first appearance since losing to Joe, I think.
I think it is. I think this angle would have been more effective because at the end of this, the Kingdom wheel out Adam Cole. And Adam Cole stands, like Linda McMahon, stands out of his chair. Great reaction for that. And he walks down to the ring.
Not hobbles. And it just at a fast pace.
I'm right here. Meltzer being fed bad info again. Because he'd reported that his recovery time was much longer than anticipated. And Cole, as he gets in the ring, gives Wardlow this nasty glare of like, you have not pleased the devil. Mm.
Behind Wardlow's back,
yeah.
So Wardlow doesn't know. But then, yeah, all of Undisputed Kingdom celebrate. Hopefully this is a soft reset for the faction because Cole's back, he's walking. Looks pretty good. I don't think he'll be wrestling for a while, but he can be a presence on TV and he can travel, I presume. So yeah, hopefully from Dynamite onwards, we can get whatever the next chapter of this is meant to be.
I hope so as well. I did say that after the last pay-per-view, so, you know, perhaps I am just repeating myself from the last one, but maybe this time it'll be different.
Here we go, folks.
Can I say up front, I thought the match was actually quite good.
I enjoyed the match.
Yeah.
Like, Jericho's out there doing a lot of stuff. He's putting himself through. He took a horrible bump through the table.
Yeah.
Like a T-bone suplex off the apron through one.
Gnarly.
Where he seemed to just land on the bit with the leg.
Yep.
And then, you know, no one kicks out of the Judas effect.
Let alone twice. With a Jericho stalling pin as well. Jericho has this very nasty habit that he picked up from a certain booker of another company, which is that you hit your finish, then sell for a little bit, then crawl into the cover. Because you're going to win the match, it makes your move look even more powerful. And he did that. And Hook still kicked out. He kicked out of one of the most like carny tactics you can do to make yourself look better. So I've seen a few people be like, oh, this match buried Hook. I don't think you can look at this match and say that it buried Hook.
No, I don't think it buried Hook. I think people are confusing that with just they want Jericho to go away.
Yes, that is exactly it. Yeah. So I'm going to be one of those times where people are going to tell me that I'm doing nothing but defending AEW or I'm huffing the copium, but this is two conflicting thoughts that I've got in my mind, and you can have both of these thoughts. And I said this on the Dynamite show. I was really getting a kick out of Jericho leaning into the fact that the crowd doesn't like him. He is still acting like a babyface. He kept giving fans the thumbs up during the match and being like, yeah, we're doing this. He was doing babyface spots. He was the first person to get a table. That's a babyface thing. He did a 10-punch spot. It's a babyface thing to do. And throughout the match, like towards the end as well, he kept apologizing. I don't want to pin you. I don't want to pin you, younger talent. I'm sorry that I'm doing this. This is not what the learning tree is supposed to be about. He is a heel, but is acting like a babyface. And I think there's a really good character in there. The problem is, he has adapted to this far too late. Mm-hmm. And the fans have already decided, no, we just think you suck and want to go away. So he's not getting booed for being an effective heel. He is getting booed because he's got go away heat.
And go away heat is a very hard thing to quantify. It, you know, it's sometimes it's subjective just based on how you feel towards a certain character, and you misinterpret maybe what the audience is saying. But we've got some quotes. We've got some quote chants that the crowd had. Go home, Jericho. Go home. And please retire.
Please retire.
Those, to me, are very clear indications of it's not fun to boo Jericho.
No.
It's not trendy to boo Jericho. Most people just want a break from him being on TV because he's gone and stale.
That is exactly what it is. As I said, if you'd have done this moment of this Jericho character 5-6 weeks ago, maybe you could have got away with it, but you've left it too late and the crowd have decided, no, this is what used to be referred to as X-Pac heat.
Yes. Yeah.
Of just like, we're sick of seeing you on TV. And I get it because I'm that guy. Like, I'm sick of seeing Jericho on TV. It's like every week they announce a Jericho segment. I'm like, ugh, there's 20 other guys that we could be giving these sorts of positions to. But, you know, they're also, I think, credit to them. They tried to do this thing. It's just, like, it's not going to work because you've left it too late.
Through 2021, through 2022, even parts of 2023, people would say, I'm sick of Chris Jericho. And I would say, he always comes back with the next fun gimmick. He's just in the crap cycle. And then he'll come back with a JAS or the Ott Show and that great Ring of Honor title run. Or the Action Andretti thing, at least the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, he's got to take a break now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. This was a WWF 2000 hardcore plunder match. And so I enjoyed,
enjoyed.
So I enjoyed it from that aspect. But it was not going to work. No matter how good this match was, the story of this match was going to be the crowd were telling Jericho exactly what they think of him.
And now Jericho's the champion.
Yeah, but it's not a proper champion. It's not a belt.
It means the feud continues.
It's not recognized by AEW. If I was AEW, I would listen to what your audience is telling you here, because I don't think this is an isolated incident. This isn't just this was St. Louis, is that where it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just an isolated incident to St. Louis. Like, this was happening. They put up a match graphic for Jericho on Dynamite and it got booed. I think you need to kind of listen to your audience here.
After that, we had Tony Storm taking on Thunder Rosa.
Or maybe I'm just huffing copium.
Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa was up next for the AEW Women's Championship. Thunder Rosa took her like entrance mask off and she didn't have her normal face paint. Ooh.
Good reveal.
Cool reveal. Yeah, got a good pop. And the crowd were really into this as they were on loads of things on the show. Me, I've seen a lot of other people be very into this match.
I'm one of them. Really like this match.
To me, it never really clicked full on with me. I didn't enjoy the Deonna Purrazzo stuff. When she briefly brawled on the outside.
I like it because it was tying into the story they were telling leading in to the match.
Yeah, but that story to me, there was no payoff to that story here, and I don't know why Purrazzo would do this, because Thunder Rosa has frequently rejected her help and vice versa. So that didn't do anything for me.
The pair of them want to have this be a fair fight, but also don't want either of them to be the one that makes this a fair fight.
And then Tony Storm sort of dragged the apron in to cause a little bit of a distraction so she could hit the Storm Zero to win.
Yeah, she hit a low blow in the Storm Zero for the win.
The low blows work.
Well, yes, I believe so. I think it is a misnomer to think that kicking a woman in the vagina does not hurt.
Kicking anywhere would hurt.
Well, exactly.
But when it's done to a bloke, it is debilitating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you kicked a woman in the vag, it would hurt as much. Having said that, Shelly Martinez yelled pretty loudly about that in her match on TNA. Mm. So perhaps it is. I don't know. I'll have to ask some of the, you know, the people in the comments. You know,
oh, God.
Let us know.
Get a poll.
Get a poll going. Because I know they did the gimmick in the Matt Cardona Macchietto match where he kept trying to low blow her and it had no effect. Mm. It was not effective. And there were a lot of people being like, no, that does hurt though. But I, you know, that's a comedy moment in a comedy match. So maybe I don't know. But I really liked this match. And the Toni Storm gimmick, I've kind of run hot and cold on. At times I've really liked it. Other times it's been a bit much for me. But I think between this and the Izumi match, I'm like, now I'm quite on board for this run at the moment. Like, that's two back-to-back matches where people have said, and I've had the same thoughts, that's the best match of this Toni Storm character.
So Toni Storm retains. Mm-hmm. Wonder who she fights next.
Well, they very much set up it. They're going down the Mariah May direction on the post-show media scrum.
Oh, wow.
Because they were saying that she is ranked number one. And Toni Storm immediately left the press conference because she doesn't want to answer that question. So we are heading towards the Mariah May.
That's a breakneck speed pace for a breakup in AEW. Those things typically take 3 years.
I know. And there's actually people have noticed as well that there's a lot of times where Mariah May's been eyeing up the title very subtly as well. I think it's actually been quite subtle in how they've done that. But I don't know whether that's the next direction they go because there is unresolved stuff with Donna Purrazzo. Maybe they'll do a three-way match at Double or Nothing because Purrazzo and Rosa can do a three-way there, maybe. Mm.
Danielson Ospreay was next. Just on rankings, Ospreay was ranked number 3 going into this and Danielson was ranked number 4. So I don't know if that moves either, if it moves Ospreay up.
I don't know.
Who's number 2 and 1?
I don't think they know. Well, it was Swerve's number 1. At least he was. And I don't think they know either. They brought the rankings back to kind of shut up online fans who are whinging about the fact that there are no rankings anymore. But they don't want to do rankings because they're a pain in the ass to keep track of and people bitch and moan about them when you do the rankings. So I just wouldn't have bothered.
FTR then took on the Young Bucks, or the Jacksons, sorry, in a ladder match for the vacant AEW World Champions. But so much more was on the stake.
On the stake.
This was
like a peppercorn sauce.
They'd had 3 matches in the past. This was the 4th encounter. You had FTR had won 2 of those. Bucks had only won 1, so it was to sort of draw the series level.
One of those FTR wins is tainted.
Yes, of course.
They didn't get to pray beforehand.
And it would also mean the winner would become the first ever 3-time AEW Tag Team Champion. And also there was the looming scapegoat specter in the background.
The fourth part of that as well is that they were following Danielson and Ospreay, so we're like, well, we need to go out there and just go hell for leather. And Dax did that by bleeding almost immediately.
Yeah, Dax bleeds right away. Cash is like, I'm a cruiserweight now. And just starts doing these insanely fast dives around the ring.
Bloody hell, that toe pay he did.
They took him out for the rest of the match.
He went to the third row. It was a good job there was a table there.
The Jacksons are just like, they're like ladders. What's a really good comparison of someone who's really familiar with something? Like the fish in water.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, they were like the Hardys in the year 2000, yeah. Where it's like, you just get a ladder out and the Hardys know what they're doing with it.
So the Bucks are great, and they've got all these little spots around the ring where like, they hit an EVP trigger on Cash, who's crutched on the ladder bridge.
Yeah.
Pile drivers through ladder bridges, 450s to the outside.
Oh, through tables and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, 450 by Nick, off the top rope, through a table on the floor, while on the other side, Dax was giving Matt a pile driver through a ladder, which completely collapsed and stuff.
And Dax looked at him like, oh yeah, you're going to do that to my mate?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do this to your mate.
It was like, every time one of them go through a table on the other side of the ring, the other one would go through a table. This was the exact sort of crazy action you'd expect from a Young Bucks ladder match. And I loved it. And they needed to go this hard and this fast because this crowd were pretty like exhausted from the Ospreay-Danielson match. Plus you had that angle there at the end where Danielson, like, doctors are taking him out of the ring. Mm. So there was a little bit of like, oh man, we've got to try and get ourselves into this. But the action was so hot and fast from the get-go that they were already there.
So also by this point, the show was 4 hours into its wrestling. Thankfully, the crowd was so hot that they were still there, but all those things Luke said. Me personally, I just want to watch this match again in isolation because I know this is a great match and I really enjoyed it, but I was just as wiped out as everyone else was in the arena.
I didn't get that moment until the main event. I think that is when I hit my, I've had my fill now, which is a shame.
So the finish was Dax was climbing up to the ladder, even though Cash had sort of taken himself out with this insane dive outside. So a man in a Sting mask ran in, pushed over the ladder. Security apprehended him and sort of pushed him into the corner, pulled off his mask to reveal the poop-eating grin of scapegoat Jack Perry.
He's really like,
it was such a great evil smile.
What was amazing about this is that this fan jumped into the ring and the security at ringside dove into the ring as if it was a real fan. Like they really sold how like a legit thing that this was. But the second that they took the mask off, they all just stopped to let him have that camera shot moment when he could go, yeah, I'm back. Cry me a river.
I obviously still think the Punk footage was a mistake.
Yep.
But I would not feel the same way about Jack Perry's grin without that footage.
I did not see this coming.
Oh, really?
Well, in terms of the Punk footage was a mistake. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it was a mistake. Like I think we can all agree, not a good choice. What I did not see coming in this is Jack Perry getting this incredible heat off the back, becoming an uber heel off the back of it. Because what I thought would happen is people chanted CM Punk at him.
Yeah.
That isn't really what is happening. He has now just got incredible amounts of heat on him. And I didn't think that was going to work. And it sort of has. Still wouldn't have done it, because I still think he would have got heat coming out of this anyway, because he's aligning himself with the Bucks, who are the evil EVPs. So it still would have got heat. But I didn't see that coming. I didn't see it working that well. Because, I mean, that Windy City Riot entrance is absolutely incredible.
I don't think it's the same person.
Oh, no.
You told me this was Jungle Boy.
Is this another Dana Brooke?
Yeah, they've recast him. So the Bucks won in the end, which I really like, because you've got, in the Elite now, Okada, Continental Champion. That's right, isn't it? They're the tag team champions, and now you've got Jack Perry there as well.
Easy feud for him and Daniel Garcia, which you kind of predicted on the Dynamite review. I think it's the direction to go. I thought this was a great match. I thought it was a great return, a really great moment.
And the main event was for the AEW World Championship, Samoa Joe defending against Swerve Strickland. Swerve came out in a Black Panther-inspired outfit. I was looking at reviews just to see what other people thought of it, and I saw this review, and it was like, oh my God, how tone deaf can AEW be? They don't understand wrestling. I was like, what? Over this Black Panther gear? And I clicked in and it was like, Warner Bros. Own TNT where AEW's aired. And this is a Marvel thing. Like, what? They're such a... I was like, what's going on? This is such a weird... It was a joke review. And I got totally wet. It was on Bleeding Cool. So that was very well done. But yeah, this was, they had a really decent match.
Yeah, it was.
There was a good story there as well. Like Swerve was working over Joe's arm.
The left arm in particular, because when he then locked in the Kikina clutch, he couldn't lock it in effectively to its full extent, which is how he was able to escape it.
Strickland kicked out of a muscle buster, which I was really shocked by, actually. I think that happened 15-ish minutes in. Joe exposed the concrete outside, hit a sick snap power slam on that, on Swerve. A couple of other moves. The finish sort of happened out of nowhere. Joe had tried to use the belt, but the belt didn't really factor into anything. And then Joe is in the corner, and Swerve jumps up. Have you heard Alvarez's theory on what might have happened here?
No.
So what happened? Joe's sort of in the corner area, and Swerve is up top, and he jumps over Joe, power bombs him off the side, and then hits a stomp to win.
I thought he was going to set up to do an avalanche Swerve stomp.
Yes.
Is that what Alvarez did?
Off the back of the huge stomp on the go home angle on like the eight security guys. But Swerve is...
Someone sent me a message, by the way, saying, like, you've never seen Swerve do the stomp before. Because I'd said, like, I've never seen anything quite like this. And it was like, Swerve does the stomp all the time. Oh. And I was like, what, onto eight guys? Is he doing that on a weekly basis, is he?
So, yeah, so Swerve must be so athletic. He jumped over Samoa Joe, no mean feat, and then just adapted to turn it into a powerbomb and stomp.
Mm.
So I felt like, in terms of the climax of this feud, that finish wasn't...
Agreed.
Not that it came out of nowhere, but it's like, oh, I've just seen this finish to Danielson Ospreay, and it was more than my wildest dreams, and this was, I guess, a little bit underwhelming.
I agree, because I think they definitely wrestled a main event quality match. I think they wrestled a main event wrestling pay-per-view match, and they did it exceptionally well. I think its problem was it wasn't just following Danielson and Ospreay. It was also following a crazy ladder match with the return of Jack Perry. So it was always going to struggle a little bit.
Four and a half hours in.
Exactly, yeah. Right at the end of the show, it's always going to struggle, but no stipulation. It's just a straight singles match. It's kind of got nothing to hide behind. There's no smoke and mirrors you can kind of use to bolster it up a little bit. So it was always going to struggle a little bit. And that's, I still think it was a good match. Like, it was like a really good four-star match, which is exactly like a great way to end off a pay-per-view. But it followed on from 2 5-star matches, or, you know, in one case, a 5-star plus match. So it's like quite a big task.
So I agree, but I don't think that's the whole issue. Because to me, this feud has been based on, well, Joe is a sick disher out of punishment, but Swerve can take the punishment and he kind of thrives on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he can be just as violent back. And, you know, you've seen the sort of the Hangman Swerve bloodbath and some of those go home angles where Swerve is dripping in blood and he signed his contract in the blood and Joe's scared. So when I know there's no stipulation, but they're in the ring, I never felt like it got to that violent depths.
I'd agree. Yeah, I completely agree.
And it just ended with a stomp in the corner.
With a wrestling move.
Yeah. So I felt like it lacked the intensity that the build set me up for.
Yeah. The moment afterwards, like when he's celebrating the world title, like that is wonderful. Like it was really, really good. They did the pyro, they did the confetti, he was celebrating with the crowd. Really felt like a true crowning moment of a new champion. And credit to Samoa Joe as well, who gave Hook his best match, and he has made this world title feel like a prize to be won. And I think that he has been, for, you know, quite a short reign with that belt, you know, comparatively to some of the other reigns that the title has had, a really, really good run with the belt. And I'm so happy for Swerve as well. I guess you do a Hangman feud, or do you want to save that? Because, you know, you're mentioning that with Will, you can kind of do some Don Callis family stuff to kind of tie him over before you get to Wembley. Question is, what are you going to do with Swerve, I suppose?
Yeah, the double or nothing.
Yeah, like what's
That's historically the big main event spot.
Yeah, it's like, what's going to be his double or nothing match? What's his Forbidden Door match before we're getting to All In?
Because I think you could do Moxley as well. They've got history.
Yeah.
IWGP Heavyweight Championships involved too.
Yeah,
but maybe that's a Forbidden Door match.
That's, yeah, like champ versus champ, I think it'd be really fun. Because I think the Hangman one, I don't think I'd want to go to the Hangman match just yet. It's too soon after, A, the triple threat, but B, the wars they had towards the end of last year.
I don't know. I think Hangman turns up and he's like, no, I've had to come back because you've got the belt.
I'm supposed to be on holiday.
But then I would say, well, why wouldn't you return at the pay-per-view to stop it happening? I definitely agree that I'm so happy for Swerve. It was a great moment to see him win the belt. The match itself, unfortunately, was on this card, a bit underwhelming.
I don't know if I would use the word underwhelming because I thought they had a really, really good match. But I agree that I think they needed to get to another level that it didn't quite get to.
Everything else on this show surpassed my expectations, I would say. This one slightly fell under it.
It met them?
No, slightly
fell under them.
That's underwhelming. do we have... So overall, I gave this 85%.
Oh, you WWE shill. Why don't you just go and make love to Triple H's booking, why don't you? Yeah, it's a 5 out of 5 show for me. I thought this was
five out of five.
I thought it was a tremendous, tremendous show. Coming off what was an incredible revolution, I didn't think that AEW would be able to like match that level of quality, and I really think that they did here. Because even the only dud on the show, which was that Hook Jericho match, the match itself was still really good. So like, I had a really good time with the show, and like the last stretch of three matches I thought were awesome. Actually, the last stretch of four matches, because I thought the Tony Storm Thunder Rosa match was great.
Great opener.
O'Reilly Strong was great.
Adam Cole's back and walking.
Yeah, I just thought this was an excellent show. A really, really great pay-per-view.
Really, really good stuff. Let's do your remaining Omega chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. Last call there.
Sorry. You're underwhelming, Ollie.
I just said the other thing was the best match I've ever seen. M00 says, what was so good about this match? This is about Ospreay and Danielson. That was better than Roman versus Cody. Was there a story? Was there a reason for why they were having this match other than who's the best, not even being the champion? No, people just like this. Because Dave tells them to.
I was sort of waiting for the punchline to come in there, but no, it's like...
What, like it was going to be a swerve? Yeah.
Yeah. There was the story. It's who's the best wrestler on the planet? Like, that is the story they were doing. They were having matches leading up to this where they were trying to better each other and prove that anything you could do, I can do either just as well or even better. And then they tried to decide who really was the best wrestler. That's what the whole finish was about.
Yeah, so it's been quite a clearly told story.
Yeah.
And, you know... WWE's hot right now, but look back on some of the storylines they've done over the last year, even with Cody. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Username has not been recorded here, so please do tell the moderators and we'll try and give you a shout out separately. I love Will and I think he's a generational talent. That said, I feel like Swerve's reign has an expiration date and is all in where he drops it to Will. And that's sad. Hopefully he's the one who retires Brian in Seattle, both being their home state.
Oh, that's a really nice idea, actually. Yeah, I quite like that.
Danielson said he'll never retire.
Yeah.
He'll wrestle, but just not on a full-time schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like All In just feels like the right time, but then maybe that's why you don't do it.
Well, you do it the year after.
I said the same thing about 39. You all thought it was the right time. Turns out 40 was the right time.
It'll be two, like Samoa Joe, four-month title reign, Swerve, four-month title reign, and then Will. I don't mind that.
Don't mind it at all.
Jake WTW. Hi, gents. What a match Danielson Ospreay was. It's absolutely one of the greatest matches I have ever seen. I wish I could have been there to see it in person. They went above and beyond the extremely high expectations they set for themselves. I liked how the angle at the end of the match played into the Ospreay promo, where he talked about Brian asking him if the Tiger Driver was worth it. And now he is realizing that maybe it wasn't in the end. For sure, match of the year.
That's a really nice little beat. I didn't pick up on that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it kind of also ties into Danielson's promo that he did on Collision. Hell of a promo that he cut on Collision, where he was like, this is what I imagine heaven looks like. It's wrestling these matches and bleeding in front of all of you.
In wherever it was.
Yeah.
Rob Steedley, Memberg for 21 months. Super dream match. Ospreay, Danielson, Omega, triple threat, Iron Man match. Who you got? Ospreay.
Yeah, probably.
congrats to Swerve. Thank you, Joe. Love you guys. Jam that jam. Jonathan Cantris, Memberg for 7 months in a row. Awesome show overall. Happy for Swerve winning. But when do you guys think Hangman will return to screw Swerve over and maybe even take his title?
I think
he returns on Wednesday.
I think he's back on Wednesday. Mm. I think you're right. I think you might just go... Because you've set the story up that Hangman doesn't want Swerve being champion. So maybe... Like now that he is champion, that is going to enrage Hangman even more.
A hot tag to you.
Breezy Steamy here says, incredible show, but the fact that Chris Jericho got a 20-minute match to go over Hook while we had a trios title unification with Jay White in the pre-show is a disgrace.
Yeah.
Yes. However, I think if you'd have done it the other way around, people have said, putting Chris Jericho on the pre-show in a 20-minute match is a disgrace.
I think currently everyone's unified in not wanting Jericho on the main card.
I agree. Space Viking here said, I'm playing Devil's Avocado. Space Viking here said, old school ROH fan, seeing the fan wearing the old ROH title design put a tear in my eye. Shout out to Prince Nana, man. He's come a long way too.
That's a good point, yeah. I always forget that he was in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Lobi here said, it's insane that we got one of the best manias ever, and then we got Dynasty 2 weeks later. This is one of the best months of wrestling I've experienced since I came back into it. Is this what it felt like when WWE and WCW were both at their peaks?
I think it's better.
It is better. And I'll tell you for why. The wrestling's better. Yeah. Because while some of those pay-per-views had like big, cool, shocking moments, they didn't have wrestling this good on it.
Yeah, or even like really good nuanced storytelling either.
No,
that's a new thing.
And you go back and watch some of those, like the undercard scene in WWF in that 98-99 period. It is dirt. Mm. It is butt ass. It doesn't get good until the year 2000. But WCW was like the opposite. Whereas like the undercard's really, really great, but that main event scene is butt ass. Golden Knights fan 84 said, "Hey Luke and Ollie, I found this pay-per-view meh, too long and very predictable. The Danielson injury angle was a swerve for swerve's sakes. Jericho versus Hook, the six man and Tony Thunder should have been on the pre-show. Jack Perry turn ruined the tag title match. 3 out of 5.
I think it was predictable. Yes, I think we did quite well in our predictions, actually.
I think I got a clean sweep.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Because actually going in, we were like, oh, this could go either way for a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think sometimes very predictable means... that made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing. Cody winning at WrestleMania was quite predictable. And like all the Avengers coming out.
Not the previous year.
No, I'm talking about this year. Yeah. CK said, "Hello. So many things I could say about this amazing show, minus Jericho. Two things I will say. The crowd were brilliant. My friend in Illinois said, please be careful. It was pure Midwestern." Yeah, the crowd were chanting, "Please be careful." So quite a British wrestling channel we used to do as well. The second thing was Swerve's entrance. Breathtaking. Take care. A couple more things. Jack's uber smug face was so good. Will and Swerve will come across wonderfully in the scrum. Do you ever see a three-way or fatal four-way involving Will, Kenny, Brian, and Zach? Finally, I became a patron and appreciate all the work that you do."
Oh, thank you very much, CK. Everybody else, go over to patreon.com/wrestletalk and get loads of exclusive content from us. AEW don't really do multi-man matches, particularly four-ways for their top title. Although they did it last year with MJF.
Yeah.
And we had the three-way with Joe Swerve and the three-way a couple of years ago with Omega, Cassidy, and Pac.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see that particular one happening.
I also don't think it's the right match. Mm. Like, these two work because they're singles matches. Like, I don't think putting it in a fatal four-way makes it better. I think actually just, like, I think that's one of those ones where it's, what do you say? It's like the sum is better than the parts?
Yeah.
Is that how it's said?
The sum is less than its parts.
That's the one, yes. Breezy Steamy is Breezy Streamy. "I hope AEW unifies the Continental and International Championships to make the International Continental title, just to mess with Ollie even further. Also, Kyle O'Reilly versus Strong is match of the night on any other pay-per-view this year. It was that good."
Loved it.
That happened at Revolution. It was a match now. I can't remember which one it was now. But it was just like, it was the Kingston match. And it was like, any other night, that would have been like, conversation for match of the year. But on that show, it was like the sixth best match on the card. "Please be careful," said, "I was there. My first ever wrestling show. The crowd was electric. Wow. Osprey Danielson was worth the price of admission alone. The Jericho go-home heat was real. And we all got to go home happy with Swerve deservedly getting the title. I'll never forget it."
What a way to start your live wrestling experience.
Yeah. Peace Ty said, "Good afternoon, all. That, for my money, was one of the best pay-per-views I've seen in a while. Top three matches for me are Osprey Danielson, Packer Carter, and Joe Swerve. But the whole card was absolutely lovely. Only gripe is Double J wasn't in the main event." Now, yeah, you want to talk about top title contenders. Global Force is back.
Mm. Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's his website now, right?
Global, yeah. It's back,
I did,
baby.
Look at it, yeah.
Yeah. We could do some more titles we could bring in.
I looked at the website. It's Double J's website for all things Double J. And it's such an eclectic mix. Here's some baseball news.
What a man. Rainmaker Cam here said, "Hey guys, love the podcast. Loved Danielson Osprey and so happy for Swerve. Side question. My lady partner wants to get interesting. I'm not sure where to start. Where do I begin? Ooh. Never thought I'd get this far. Any suggestions are welcome."
It all depends on the sort of lady partner you have. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of friends I know in the teens, I don't know loads of women in their teens. They got into wrestling via Total Bellas. That sort of reality show element. For nowadays, what would be best? I think...
yeah, it's hard. I think you've got to try a variety of
nothing
things.
Too long, so no. Not raw.
And you could, because you could try and do spot fest type things like Money in the Bank, because like, oh look, it's crazy action. But that also does sort of set the expectation that this is what all wrestling is like. But also, you don't want to do like a Carter Omega 4.
Yeah.
Because that's probably too deep. That's too deep. It's a bit much. It's also over an hour.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe some. Maybe some first series Lucha Underground.
Maybe. I've always said, like, the great clip to show a non-wrestling fan to, like, what is wrestling is the end of Backlash 2000. Mm. Or, like, the main event of Backlash 2000, because that has got. My brother's partner saw that, and she was like, oh, I get it. I get what wrestling is. But it's not like she saw that and then was like, and now I want to watch more of it.
I now disagree. I think Sami Zayn Bloodline. Just go through the segments and the matches for that little part of the story.
That's a good idea, actually.
Because if she doesn't like Sami after that, and, you know, that is top tier wrestling.
And you get War Games in there as well.
Yeah.
Noah Fortner said, I'm severely out on AEW right now, but I want to keep up with it. That being said, why do people enjoy Jack Perry? I've been trying to understand why it's just not clicking with me. Is it because of the Punk stuff or in spite of it? Can you please explain?
I think, well, we all enjoyed Jungle Boy back in the day. Mm-hmm. He turned heel, never really connected with me in that run, but, you know, he was doing okay work. But now I feel like real world circumstance has given him the substance to actually capitalize on a heel character.
Yeah.
So I feel like it might be coming together for him. So that's what I would say.
From the top rope said, I need Hangman versus Ospreay at Wembley. Cool. Hangman being bitter about his spot being taken again and insecure about his place in AEW now. I think it could be magic. Thanks for the content. Listening while editing my own Dynasty review.
Well, don't let that get too confusing. Ospreay needs to be going for the world title at Wembley.
I'd like that, yeah. Breezy Streamy said, I know it's an AEW stream, but I've got to say this. Dominic Mysterio needs to win King of the Ring and proclaim himself Rey Mysterio.
Oh, yes.
And demand that his father change his name to something else because he's the only king of the only king he is of all the deadbeats. That's very good. Eddie Pat 14 said, Will and Danielson absolutely killed it last night, but this has been the one thing on my mind all weekend. Luke, and Ollie too, I guess, thoughts on the new WWE Tag Team Championships? Well, they look like the ones from the 90s, so I like them.
Yeah.
Like, they are, it's legit. It's the best title design that the main roster has had in, well, probably since the 90s.
Are we going to have to redo the TLC episode?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think they're as good as the original ones, because the original have more color to them, which I quite like. But man, the shape of them, they look like actual titles. The logo, it's not quite as gaudy. That's the main thing. It's there, but it's not the focal point there. And yeah, they don't look like toy belts. Mm-hmm. I think they are brilliant, brilliant tag belt designs.
Triple H knows his belts.
Yeah, at least in that one. Juan has been a member for 30 runs in a row. Said, Swerve when I drive. Leo S said, hello, lads. Ospreay versus Danielson was amazing as expected, but I think Callis will turn on Ospreay in the coming weeks so that we can have the Anarchy in the Arena match at Double or Nothing between Don Callis' family versus BCC alongside Ospreay.
Oh, my God. Star power in that.
Yeah.
That'll be an insane match.
But who's on the... Because only the family, there's only three members. Because it's Fletcher, Takeshita, and Hobbs.
Yeah.
So who would be the fourth person for them if it's going to be Danielson, Ospreay, Claudio, and Mox? And then...
Yeah, you sort of want you to return and then Ospreay remains in the family.
Yeah.
I would say War Games as well, not just Anarchy in the Arena.
Yeah. Jason Poland here said, my first Omega chat.
Oh,
just joined the Patreon at the $10 level.
Loads of new Patreons.
Go check out the latest episode of Survival Series, Thunderdome edition. Thumbs up for the work of everyone involved with WrestleTalk and keep up being awesome. Ospreay versus Danielson is probably 6 stars without the Tokyo Dome, and it feels good to be in Swerve's house. And Clayton Davis has been a member for 14 months in a row. He said, if no story means having Shibata face Ospreay and Danielson to build a match, never tell me a story again. Loved the show. Hopefully AEW TV can pick up. I mean, I thought last week's show was Dynamite was great.
Oh yeah, good show. Not the best go home show, but Collision had that. But it is coming off of 2 weeks of, like,
that's why we called it the bounce wobbles back episode. And lastly, Breezy Streamy here. Jericho should team with Jeff Jarrett and a team called Y3J. Also, forgot about Hangman. With Swerve being the champion, is it time for Keith Lee to finish his story?
Oh my God, we're never gonna finish that story. Love Y3J though.
Yeah, that is very good. Maybe now is the time. Maybe if Keith Lee's okay, like, bring him back. That's your Double or Nothing main event.
Should we check the poll for the final amount?
Indeed.
And thank you, new member Khalid Tarawi.
Absolutely. We have a thumbs up of 89%.
Wow.
8% in the middle.
Huge. Well, it was a great show. If you haven't already, please do go and check out Danielson Osprey. It's just a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And subscribe to this channel because we'll have Luke and Dan back here tomorrow reviewing Raw, and me and Luke will be back on Thursday with Dynamite. Finding out who Swerve's next challenger might be. Mm. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Luke Owen. Jam That Jam.
Jam That Jam.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.